Warning, the following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Woohoo! Episode 183, Guardians of the Geekery. Hey, a special guest, us! What the fuck? Wait a minute.
According to my sheet here, our guest is John Hartness.
Yeah, well, I didn't change it.
He's here in spirit.
That's right. He's always here.
Our podcast guest unfortunately had to cancel. So.
You're stuck with us.
So you're stuck with us.
Only us.
But that's okay, because you know what? It's like 3 days before Geek Gala. By the time you hear this,
it'll be one day.
Two days.
Or 2 days after.
Yeah. It'll be somewhere around there. So, yeah. So... We're just the three of us, four of us. How many of us are there?
There's four.
I forgot to count three myself. But you know what? We need to start off with a little bit of Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Makes great radio. Happy birthday, dear Tiffany. Happy birthday to you.
And we are singing happy birthday.
You're still the youngest. You just blew the mic.
Raising.
So life goals for your next year in this world?
Life goals. Marry Henry Cavill.
Okay. With or without the mustache?
Either way, don't care. I'll take him as he comes.
Oh. Raising.
You'll come as he takes you.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we are privileged that we got to spend another year in your life, and hopefully next year will find us all here healthier, wealthier, and definitely wiser. So,
Thank you.
Beyond that, I have no expectations.
Okay, great.
All right. So,
so after celebrating Tiffany's birthday, a couple of people who won't make their next birthday.
Go with the older guy.
So we did lose a couple of people in the geekdom this week. Roy Dotrice, who I grew up with because he was father in Beauty and the Beast in the 1980s, and I absolutely adored that show. Madly in love with Vincent. Which, you can take that however you want it.
I had the cassette tape of him reading poetry.
Oh, goodness.
Ron Perlman in that role was really, really awesome. Yeah. But Roy Dotrice was actually awesome as father. And he was also in Game of Thrones recently. I believe he died in the last season.
Oh, he's the guy that did the books.
Yes.
Right. That narrated the books. Okay.
Yes. And
he was the guy that did that stuff.
He did that stuff, yes. But he was 94 years old, so he lived a very long, very fruitful life. And John Dunsworth, who apparently is one of the Trailer Park Boys.
He ran the Trailer Park court for a long time and was kind of the foil to the Trailer Park Boys.
What is the Trailer Park Boys?
It's a long-running comedy that started in Canada, and it was really a cult show when I watched it. But apparently it was canceled after like 9 seasons. But apparently they brought it back on Netflix. You know, Netflix kind of resurrecting everything, and it found a whole new audience once it got to Netflix. But it's basically about these two guys who are pretty much drunk a lot, deal really small petty crimes. I guess that's why they stay in the trailer park. And then Mr. Leahy sometimes gets sucked into it, and he drank a lot of liquor and stuff. But his name was Jim Leahy on the show, but they always called him Mr. Leahy, even though he was probably like 10 years older than them, kind of on the show. But it's a fun show. I would definitely recommend at least season one. Try it out, because it's just one of those shows that's like so ridiculous you start laughing, and kind of reminds me of a slightly different Raised in Arizona that just goes on and on and on for 9 fucking seasons plus. Anyway, but no, he was also, I guess, on a show I didn't watch, but a geeky show called Haven. I never saw it.
I tried, but it didn't catch me.
I can't even think of the trailer.
I tried that show too, and I couldn't get into it.
That one in Salem.
It wasn't.
It was more just paranormal type stuff. Okay.
Almost like a Eureka without the science.
Without the quirkiness. Huh. Eureka I loved. Yeah, Haven I couldn't get into. I tried Salem too, and I couldn't get into that, which just disappointed me. Because I'm like, but yeah, you got to catch me in the first 3 or 4 episodes or I just don't do it. It doesn't work.
Yep, so, too many things.
So speaking of things that didn't catch on, evidently somebody's leaving us in 2018 on Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, kind of bummed to hear
this. It's not like he didn't catch on. He's actually leaving his own free will.
Yeah, he's leaving. But
this is Victor Garber, right?
Victor Garber, who's an older actor, he's Dr. Martin Stein, but he's part of Firestorm, and they combine to create Firestorm's
okay.
The superhero. Explain this to Tiffany. I'm nerdsplaining. Sorry. I'm not mansplaining. I'm nerdsplaining. But it'll be interesting because become Firestorm currently, the two, Ronald and he, have to combine. So I'm not sure how that will work or what. So, but we'll see. But it is funny on the show. Like you can tell, like when you know after the season opener and in the midseason finale. And then the finale, that's when they have, of course, all their money, all their big budget for the show. So to combine and do the special effects for Firestorm costs some money. So a lot of times they're separate because it is two different actors. So I mean, even tonight, or last night, the show they were separate and had adventures. And one was on the ship a lot, which is usually Dr. Stein because he's not the sexy guy.
I'm trying to find out what he's leaving the show to do. He's going back to Broadway.
He's going back to Broadway. Hello, Dolly, I think.
I think it's Hello, Dolly. Yeah, with Bernadette Peters. He's replacing David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah. But he's an old song and dance guy. He's a triple threat guy. So I'm sure he'll come
back.
He
was an Alias. If anyone watched Alias, he was an Alias for the whole run.
He was also on Titanic.
He was the man who built the ship on Titanic.
Yeah.
Or design the show.
Mainly a character actor, but Broadway before all that stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, but hopefully he'll be back next year for season 4 of that show. I can't believe it's...
I'm way far behind on all of my DC shows.
The only one I'm up to date on is Flash, but I didn't watch yesterday, so...
I'm catching up on Archer and Rick and Morty, so I'm in the...
I know. It's Galazone now. We haven't watched TV unless it's been something that I don't have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, other than Dancing with the Stars, but
I had I guess this is a good segue. I had to I wanted to be prepared for a flat. I was on Super Chat now. It used to be called Flash Chat on CW. So I was on there today pimping the Geek Gala and talking about all the. Talking about Arrow, talking about Supergirl, and talking about The Flash. So that was a lot of fun, and I just posted that link up on my personal page. But it's kind of different this year. She's segmenting, making smaller shows out of the big show, so you can watch the whole thing. But if you just want to watch The Flash part, we talk about The Flash for 7 minutes. We talk about Arrow for 6 minutes. We talk about Supergirl for 9 minutes. So
cool.
A little different, but yeah, it was fun. Thanks, Jess, for having me out, and she's heading to somewhere in Europe tomorrow. So
lucky her.
I know.
Dang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of Han Solo news this week.
Got a title.
Yeah.
It's just called Solo, right?
Solo: A Star Wars Story. So this is much. This is as much about a movie title as it is a marketing effort. Kind of bugs me a little bit, but they're trying to figure out how to, they had great success with Rogue One, more than they were expecting. They hit way over projection.
Yeah.
So they're hoping this can be the same thing, and they feel pretty confident, I guess, Ron Howard is able to clean it up to how they wanted it. We'll see if that translates into a good movie or not.
Yeah, we'll see. I find Ron Howard to be such a bland director. His movie, I don't connect with his movies. I just find him incredibly bland.
He didn't like you either.
I know. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Opie.
We'll have to see how much he reshot, because a lot of it was already shot, but then he added a character too. Yeah. So I'm not sure. A minor character.
Jar Jar Binks is grandson.
other way. Grandfather, yeah.
No, it'd be his grandson or his son, because Jar Jar Binks was in. This would take place in when Luke was on Tatooine, wouldn't it? Because Solo's not
totally.
Like, you know
it's
what
a
I'm
big
talking
ball
about.
Of wibbly wobbly, tiny. He's not in it, so does Jar Jar.
They would not dare.
Porg.
I still want the porg to be like the killer rabbit from Holy Grail. Just
the thing is, people are treating it like it's one character. It's like Ewoks. There's a shitload of these old things. So.
Yeah, and yes, they will be the next. Well, they already are the cute little cuddly toys. For this Star Wars movie.
I still like my cuddly Tauntaun. I just want to say it. Or what is it? A Wampa?
No, a Wampa. Wampa.
All right, but more exciting news.
I've seen the Wampa like kills people and rips their faces off, so why can't the Porg do the same thing?
I don't know. I didn't say they couldn't. We don't know. Because Ron Howard's too bland. That's why.
But he's not even doing that movie. The porgs are in The Last Jedi.
Whatever.
God, get with the program, Gollabrain.
I did think it was pretty funny.
Pen breaker.
Mark Hamill on Twitter is absolutely one of the best people to follow.
Yeah.
Because he actually addresses like the memes and all that stuff. And so he was looking at the one, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. Or from an app or something like that. He goes, I can guarantee you that's not the name of the last movie, but he actually posted the image and like commented on it. I was like, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's just, you don't see Harrison Ford even engaging.
No.
You know, probably doesn't know what a tweet is, but.
No. And if you asked him, he'd probably just yell at you.
Yeah. Why is it going to be fucking Twitter snake?
Grumpy old man. Oh, sorry. All right.
So, New Mutants trailer. Tell me all about this. I have not watched this.
They're going for a radically different tone on this one.
They're going for the horror.
Yeah.
Which, and I guess they have plans for two other movies that they do to be horror as well.
So, this is
it's a Marvel...
horror movie. Yeah.
Horror movie. And the New Mutants, it was a little scarier than X-Men, but they allowed the X-Men to get to be like college age in the comics back in the 80s. And so, the New Mutants... one of the main characters, Ileana Rasputin, was Peter Rasputin, or Colossus's little sister. And she could do, her mutant power was this magic that she had. And it was very scary, some of the stories. And the person who illustrated a lot of this was Bill Sienkiewicz. And he had a very scratchy, very dark kind of penciling style from the comic. So it really was kind of scary. And but Macy Williams is going to be Wolfsbane, so she's basically kind of a Wolfman type of character, although she has control over it.
Macy Williams, who plays
Arya from Game of Thrones.
When you said Macy, I was thinking Macy Gray.
No.
Macy. I tried to say goodbye, but I'm broke.
No.
She could, yeah.
Sorry.
The girl has a name. It's Maisie.
Yeah,
exactly.
But definitely a horror vibe. And
I do think it's funny that both Stark sisters are now kind of sort of in the Marvel universe. She's Wolfsbane and Sansa is Jean Grey. Jean Grey on the new Dark Phoenix saga.
I hope that's going to be okay.
I don't know.
I don't have a lot of hopes.
I was one of
one.
The few that I didn't really like Apocalypse.
I didn't either. I didn't like the compa character even. I thought it was the stupidest thing. Yeah.
Why would you hide Oscar Isaac like that?
They always do.
Why would you do that? Right. You're thinking somebody else, yeah. But you know, put him under a bunch of blue makeup. Ew.
Yeah, so he can be scared in 2018. So. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought looked absolutely amazing was the Blank Panther trait.
The Blank Panther.
The Blank Panther?
The black, you both said blank.
Marvel Studios, the Black Panther movie.
Oh my lordy!
It's Gala Week, isn't it?
Yeah. So sorry, guys.
No sleep. Lots of shit going on.
Black Panther. It actually looks really good. My brother, I texted him because he's a huge comic book nerd. Texted him the poster. He's like, it looks like Xanadu. And I'm like,
what the fuck? Not even close.
I pulled up Xanadu's poster. It's the font. The font is similar.
It's papyrus.
It's not papyrus.
Oh no.
That was Avatar.
I know.
But yeah, it did kind of the colors and the font. I was like, that is kind of Avatar or Xanadu-ish.
It is kind of blank Panther.
Yeah. But I thought it looked. I think it looks amazing.
No, I think Black Panther looks amazing. I love the mixture of third world and high tech that you saw in there. I just love the whole vibe. I think it's so nice to not be in New York City.
Yeah.
And not be in Hell's Kitchen and just be in a total other place dealing with a similar world problem. I'm so stoked about this movie.
Yeah, and the civilization is hidden from the rest of the world, or it was for a long time. And it's technologically superior to any other thing on Earth, which I think was really cool. Like, they had space travel before the rest of the world and things like that. So they definitely see that in the trailer, too. But I think that makes it kind of cool, too, because it's like you don't have to worry about as much collateral damage with, like you're talking about, a skyscraper next to your fight, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that was one of the things that was working for Doctor Strange, too, was that it was just out of New York City. And I was just like, I'm so ready. I mean, we have that, you know, whole, like, you know, riches of geekdom going on right now where we're this and this, you know, plethora of options for geeky stuff. And so therefore we can be a little more hypercritical about what we get. And I think, you know, obviously a lot of us have said different things about Iron Fist or other things. And, you know, it's like, but if we had had that 10 years ago, that would have been the most amazing thing we'd ever had, because we'd never had anything like that. But I do think that, you know, with the Marvel, because it's a Marvel connected universe, you've not been able to expand outside of that. You've had to have some key points to come back home to. And the fact that we can now say, okay, the key point was that Black Panther was here in this film, but now we're going back to his world. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing with Doctor Strange, with it being like, I mean, it was out of this world, right? I mean, it's all over the place.
Astral plane.
But yeah, very excited about that trailer. I did watch it like 3 times in a row. And I'm very cool. I'm very excited about the fact that, unlike Avengers, we have strong female roles present in the trailer. Now, whether or not that plays through to the movie, we don't know. But it's not, you know, the Scarlet Widow, Black Widow thing. No, but I'm talking about the fact that sometimes it seems like, instead of being two females, it ends up becoming
they're splitting their
screen time into two people instead of one. So I'm very excited about that. So
cool.
Other things, Tiffles, Mindhunter. We're excited about hearing about this because we don't know what you're about to talk about.
Yes. No, so Mindhunter is a new show on Netflix that just premiered this weekend. It's produced. And several of the episodes are directed by David Fincher, so that's what kind of gave me an interest in it, because I'm a huge David Fincher fan. And oddly, also, maybe not oddly, but also produced by Charlize Theron. I noticed that. I've only seen the first couple of episodes. It's 10 episodes. But I have to say, I really enjoy this show so far. Like, I would not typically seek out a show about serial killers, but essentially the story is that there, Jonathan Groff, from Glee, I believe he was on Glee, he plays an FBI instructor that teaches, like, kind of de-escalation in hostage situations, and he ends up, like, hearing a colleague of him talk about, like, they don't have a term, they don't have the term serial killers yet. They just have people who do repeat crimes, and they don't really know what to call that. And so he hears a colleague of him talking about these repeat offenders, and then he goes to a bar with him, and he ends up meeting a girl who's a psychology student. And she's like, what do you guys think about this psychology thing and this psychology thing? And he's really fascinated by what she has to say, and so he convinces his boss to let him go back to school to learn more about psychology. And it's really interesting because basically at that time, they just thought of criminals as born that way. They're just born that way. And unfortunately, people didn't catch that they were crazy when they were a baby or whatever, and they weren't institutionalized, and so crimes happen. So really, this story is about giving a name to serial killers and understanding psychology behind them. And to compare it to his movie Seven, which was kind of a similar tone, I like this better. Seven was a great movie, don't get me wrong, but like I feel like Seven was very gratuitous in the scenes of the seven deadly sins, you know, and it was kind of gory in a lot of ways. This is much more cerebral. So, I mean, not to say you don't see pictures and hear about these crimes, but it's definitely more talking. And so far, really interesting. So I recommend people check it out.
I did actually check out a new show on Amazon Prime called Lore. If you listen to the podcast, this is basically the podcast as a show. It's got the same narrator.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it goes. It just basically takes some instances of American and actually worldwide folklore, and kind of portrays them. And I watched the first couple of episodes. I will say, if you like the podcast, you'll like the show. If you don't like the podcast, you probably won't like the show because it is the same narrator. And I do think the narrator has a tendency to get a bit melodramatic. But I love the podcast. I can put up with his melodrama because I love folklore. So I'll finish up the show. And it's actually really good. It's on Amazon Prime, so you do need to be an Amazon Prime member.
How many episodes?
There's 10.
It's not too bad.
No, I'm sorry. There's 6. There's 6 episodes of the season. So it's actually pretty easy. That's a lot better, yeah. And they're only like 30 minutes apiece. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, sold.
But they're already signed for season 2.
Okay.
But yeah, and if you check out the show and you like it, I do highly recommend the podcast because they're on episode 70-something now of the podcast.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you were also going to tell us a little bit about what you figured out with the Fear the Walking Dead crossover.
Yeah, because everyone was trying to figure out how they were going to have a crossover since Walking Dead takes place outside of the, you know, past Fear the Walking Dead. But apparently someone on Fear the Walking Dead said that they were heading toward Houston. And the crossover character will very likely be Abraham, who... spoilers, if you didn't watch last season of Walking Dead, died.
one with the mutton chops?
Yeah, the mutton chops, the redhead, yeah, the ginger.
Oh, is he going to be on there?
Yeah, because if you watch Walking Dead, he did say that his wife and his family, they were hiding in a department store in Houston for a very long time. Hmm. And then his wife and children died and he went east. So they'll probably run into Abraham. That makes logistically the most sense. And it would be nice to see the character again because I might actually pick up the show again because I liked that character.
Well, and he's actually been doing some recent publicity. Like Chris Hartwork had him on the regular Nerdist, but it was after he died, which now explains
why they're bringing him back into that world a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, why he's suddenly making the PR circuit.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's kind of sad that you will know this character and how this character dies, but it is nice to see Abraham back because
it adds like a little tension that maybe you weren't thinking about. So, well, this week on Disney, last week it was all about your favorite year. So of course it was sponsored by Kleenex, or it should have been. but this year was Dancing with the Stars was Disney Week. So I thought it was really interesting because it was the first time in a while that the dances that, so the way that they do it is that each dance partner set ends up doing a different movie. But this time they actually did like a Muppets nod, and then they also did a nod to Coco, which actually is coming out next or this weekend. So, you know, they were having people dance to a movie that people hadn't even seen yet, which was interesting. I think it went well, but it was interesting. But the property brother, Drew, he actually danced to the Rainbow Connection, which made me think of Field, of course, because that's him and Matt Chance's favorite song to sing at karaoke together. So, and Candace hates it whenever I request that they sing it. So, But yeah, so it was just very funny, but it was good. You know, you're starting to now, it's the wheat and the chaff kind of week, where it's like the people that are really invested are going to continue to invest well, and those that aren't doing so well are really, it's going to start showing. So they had somebody on from ABC Family's Pretty Little Liars, and she had a story to tell because when she started on the series, she was young. And then over the course of the past couple years, she gained 70 pounds and she didn't know why. And now they found out it was polycystic ovaries and all this stuff. But she announced on the show that she'd already lost 37 pounds by dancing and all this, and the, and discovery of the cure. And then they voted her off.
So, that's how it usually happens. That's what they always did with Project Runway. If they started delving into somebody's backstory, you knew they were going
to
go.
Yeah, it's like they were a little kinder to her this week in some of the video clips than they were before. But it's very interesting because usually the video packages will show you a lot of behind the scenes stuff of the dance pairs interacting. But they aren't doing as much of that. And it could be because there's still a lot of pairs and so they don't have as much time. But I would suspect that a big part of it is also that it's been in the press that one of the pros and one of the dancers, which is, remember I told you there was the two couples, the dancing couple, the dancing pros couple, and then Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey. And so they were playing up the fact that it was, you know, spouse against spouse on both sides. But Max didn't dance 1 week, Max Chernofsky. And he's known for having a temper, and it was said that he and Vanessa didn't get along, and like their video package had nothing to do with them working together. So it was really interesting. But anyway, so
did they dance together?
They did this week. Last week she had a sub. So it's interesting. You know, it's my one chance to, like, with the Geek Gala and everything like that, to watch something that's totally not necessarily geeky, but still something I geek out about. So. Mm-hmm. It was the only thing I allowed myself to watch. The rest of it was more like Halloween Wars, where they're cooking cake and stuff, and I don't have to watch every minute.
I was going
to
say, you watched Halloween?
No. Halloween Wars. They do a Cupcake Wars version. They do a cake version. It's actually pretty fascinating if you haven't watched Halloween Wars. They hire somebody that can carve pumpkins or gourds. They hire, they have somebody on their team that can do, like, the blown glass and sugar work, and usually they're a good baker. And then they have somebody that does more of like the fondant and the figurines and stuff like that. And they don't necessarily know each other. They like pick these groups of people and then they form these teams. And then each week they do a little competition, a big competition. So, and then they always have a celebrity judge, usually from the horror world for Halloween Wars. So like John Doggett from, who of course was in X-Files and then also, you know, Terminator 2000 and stuff like that. He was in there. He was cracking us up. Even Matt was chuckling, even though he doesn't watch it.
I was walking through and I was like, what is he doing on that? Halloween Wars?
Yeah. And then they've had Elvira on there and different people like that. And yeah, I think they had a girl from True Blood on. And, you know, so just like any kind of horror shows. Oh, Juliette Landau.
Oh.
Was on. So, you know, if nothing else, it's like I can look up and watch when she's talking and then when they're actually baking, I'm kind of like, whatever. But it is kind of tense because that sugar stuff, I mean, that stuff can crack really easily.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was fun.
I did walk in and there was a scene where, like, you have the baking racks and somebody put a rack in there and just went like that. And there was one in the back and the thing goes flying and it was that blown, it was this huge sugar glass. Tongue.
It took the guy 2 hours to make it.
And he had 40 minutes to recreate it or something.
And the girl was like talking and she wasn't watching what she was doing and then realized she'd slid it on the same rack as his. And she's like, she burst into tears and she wanted him to comfort her. He's like, I have to make another one. I cannot talk to you. And he was like French or something. So he's like, I cannot talk to you. I have other things.
And she was like, it took you 2 hours. Can you do it? And he goes, what choice do I have? And he just starts to go and he did it. And I was like, holy shit.
And she goes, and actually, I think it looks better. It's like, don't even take credit. Okay, so maybe I watch it a little more than I like to think I do, but it's something I can watch while I'm doing other stuff, because you don't have to watch every second of it. But what you do have to watch every second of is Geekcon.
Whoa.
Yes. This weekend. I cannot.
Oh, this weekend?
Believe. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Did you have plans?
Yeah, I got to do
something. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to bow out because I already made plans for Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm at this gala thing.
I was going to alphabetize my sock drawer.
I'll be there.
Tiffany! I knew I
Traitor.
Loved you. I knew I loved her best. You all are going to hell. No, so wow. There's a lot of cool stuff happening, and it's like we're adding new stuff every time. So
what about Friday night?
Well, Friday night we have the pre-gala stuff.
Pre-gala.
So we're having, you know, we normally do the monthly game night, and we're doing that over at the Wingate at Wyndham. Now, this is the one over by the airport. You'll know you're in the right place because there's a Shomar's right in front of it. So,
sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of like you have to take this little side road to get to it, but they've been so generous with their space. So we have that whole, we have their main meeting room, and then we actually are allowed to spill out into the lobby way where they do the breakfast buffet. There's tables and chairs out there, and that'll be hosted by Con Carolinas. And then over in the boardroom, which is right next door, Madison Matricula, who's one of our special musical guests, is actually going to be doing what she calls Nerd Music Campfire. I always want to change the order of the words, like blank pather, but I believe it's Nerd Music Campfire.
I'm about to look at the photo I took
of my
car.
I used to say Nerd Campfire Music, and that's wrong. So it's a Nerd Music Campfire. But basically, it's like an open jam session.
Yeah.
So if you've got a instrument like a drum or, not too many drums, but you know, like the ukulele or something like that, or you just like to sing, then you're just going to get together and jam out for a little while. And, so that should be a lot of fun, and you can totally walk back and forth. And both of those events are free. You just show up. So they'll start at 6:30 on Friday over at the Wingate by Wyndham, near the airport. And then if you're staying at the hotel, of course they give you a free shuttle over to the Muggles Market the next day, which starts at 10 a.m., goes until 4 p.m. And there's all sorts of different things. Which part are you kind of most interested in at the Muggles Market, Tiffles?
I want to see the guy who makes the pens.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Joshua. Yeah, bars work. So the Muggles Market itself, you want to go in and walk through and see some of that. Yeah. And then what about you?
I'm actually looking forward to the film festival because there's some really good films. Playing, actually.
Yeah, and we actually found out today that J.K. Shayla, please, if I'm saying your name wrong, I'm so sorry, you can tell me on Saturday, but she's a screenwriter for Viridescent, which is Best of Horror.
Best Horror, yeah.
And she's going to be there, so she's going to come in and be there so you can kind of see her, and then, and she'll also be at the gala that night, and then, Matt, what part are you interested in? You kind of got to do something fun last week. You kind of got to do a pre-version of this last week.
Yeah, so I can't actually go on the gala quest itself, but I picked up like this guy Jerry Hampton and I, Charlotte Geek, we went around to 9 of the stops and got to see those and get some donations and those type of things. But
and then
it was neat.
Ben Burton kind of kept us like video posted on the others or like Instagram posted on the others, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we kind of split it up, and it was a lot of fun, and I think people are going to really like it. And it kind of takes you around the Queen City, and I don't know, we've already had some people say they were interested in it, so hopefully people usually like it. So
I mean, it's fun. A chance for you to go to about 12 different geeky places across Charlotte, and everyone that you go to, you get points for going there, and the one when you come back, you get prize coupons that you can put in for the basket, the prize pack, which is different than the geeky goodie raffle baskets. So the prize pack, and then it's over $500 worth of stuff. Yeah. So
but I tell you, I'm really excited about the music tent, just because it's our first time doing that at the Muggles Market, which I think is cool. So it's kind of the slowed down, semi-acoustic type of vibe. So
And then that night, of course, we've got the talent show, which is really shaping up to be very interesting again this year.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody's going to win $150 cash.
Whoa.
And then, of course, we have the costume contest, which we know a couple of the judges. So,
I take bribes.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. And, of course, we have Mikey Mason and Matricula. So, the good news is if you go to charlottegeeks.com, There is a tab now there called News, which if you click on that, it'll show you all the Geek Gala news that we've been posting over the past year. You can just scroll down and look at all the articles. And if you go to the tab called Spotlight, you'll see all the Muggles Market Spotlights we've done over the past year about the 42 different artisans and other people who are going to be there. So, pretty amazing stuff. I'm excited. I wish I had like two more days to get ready. But I'm also going to be a little sad because it's been so much fun putting this year together. Although, you know, we've already started planning 2018, so let's not lie. But but you know, I just think that this has been such a great year for us, and we're really looking forward to it. Of course, next year will be our 10th year doing it.
Oh my goodness.
So, if you don't have tickets for this year and you can't make it out this Saturday, definitely make sure that you make plans to be there for our 10th year, because we can only go bigger, right?
That's right.
And let's not forget why, you know, why we do it, of course.
Because we're crazy.
No.
So the Muggles Market, of course, I mean, it's all for charity. So the reason why we started the Geek Gala, I started the Geek Gala 9 years ago was because it was our 1 year anniversary for the Charlotte Geeks. So this year is actually our 10th year birthday for the Charlotte Geeks.
Wow.
So we've been around for a while. We're not quite a teenager, but we're getting there. I wanted to make sure that by celebrating, we also made sure to give back, because I was just so thankful for the fact that when I moved here, I was able to find such a great group of friends. And one of my best friends is sitting right here. And it would be Matt. No kidding. Oh. I was pointing at Carol. And Tipples, I wouldn't have met you if I hadn't met Matt. I wouldn't have met Matt if he hadn't been wearing a Star Wars shirt. So, and now you're geeky too. You may not.
Sort of.
You are.
You're geek by proxy.
Hey, you want to win the costume contest dressed as one of the Gilmore Girls, because I bet that would immediately win.
Or Henry Cavill.
Or Henry Cavill.
If you're listening,
you got it in. You don't even need a costume.
Or like Chuck from Gossip Girl.
Or Jason Momoa, just come as Jason Momoa in a loincloth. That would be fine.
That would be our friend.
Okay. But anyway, so we were talking about giving back.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption in Memory of My Little Sister, that's what the Geek Gala is all about. And we went with Dave Thomas Foundation because we first started off with youth homes. And then when the federal budget crisis started happening back in 2008, they had to merge into Children's Home Society of North Carolina. And Children's Home Society of North Carolina has also had some budget challenges. They're still around. You know, we had Jeff on a couple weeks ago. But they need all the help they can get. So foundations like Dave Thomas Foundation takes the money that we give to them. And they actually, because we're doing this event here in the Carolinas, our money will be earmarked for agencies here in the Carolinas, like Children's Home Society. But what's nice about us donating to Dave Thomas Foundation is, A, there's a little more credibility. It makes it a little easier for people to step up on a national level. It makes it easier for companies that do company matching. And so therefore we're able to make our dollars go more. And the Muggles Market, obviously we wanted to do the exact same thing.
Yep.
So this year we reached out to Second Harvest Food Bank of the Metrolinas, and that's why admission is a non-perishable food item, which of course if you go on the website you can see a list of suggestions for that. So that was my little commercial about the Geek Gala and Muggles Market, but we really hope you will come and we will be there so you can meet us. And you can be like, hey, I recognize your voice, like one of you did to me at AnimeCon. Not mentioning any name. How are you doing on the Lyft and the Uber over there, my friend? So, so come check it out. And there's just going to be, I mean, there's food trucks. There's going to be butterbeer popcorn.
Yeah.
There's also going to be butterbeer. And then there's music and there's food and there's fun stuff to try, like virtual reality station. You can go pet Nagini if you want to.
That's an actual snake. That's not some... some guy walks up to you with a box that says Nagini, don't look inside the box.
This is a family-friendly event. Don't do that.
So that's why we have the Transformers Bumblebee to clean it up for us.
And then we'll have the Ecto and the Transformers and a life-size TARDIS. I mean, a LARP in the backyard. There's still some zombie demo makeup spaces. So all there.
Yes.
Do it.
Woo.
Come to the gala.
Anything else we need to say?
Come the fuck on to the gala.
That's right.
We'll see you October 21st.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for spending the day after your birthday with us.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. All right. Get us out of here.
See you at the gala.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.